Good morning. It is a true blessing for us to be back with you this morning and to have the opportunity to stand before you and say thank you for your love, your prayers, your gifts towards our ministry, and being faithful support partners of our ministry. How many of you remember our slogan? It's on the stickers. Go for it. What is it? You don't know how to say it. Yaha peruepe. Let's go to Paraguay. And as we closed out our ministry last time we were with you, it's our way of inviting you to join us in serving the people of Paraguay, South America. We are passionate about people being able to come and see what our national ministry partners in Paraguay are doing and being part of our ministry in helping them succeed. So on the next slide, you'll see that our slogan there, Yaha Peruepe, and then let's go ahead and go to the next one. We'll jump right into a ministry update for you, just to let you know what God is doing. So we are excited to be on this journey and to watch the Lord faithfully provide. So our first year of deputation ministry was kind of a wild one, and as I explained in the Sunday school hour this morning, everybody kind of told me, hey, don't worry about your first year of ministry. It'll be slow. And for us, right out of the gate, January of 2021, we got busy. So life in ministry got very busy our first year in deputation ministry. We were part of over 20 churches, being able to be part of several different ministries, many different opportunities to speak in conferences, and to just be part of growing works in different areas, making connections, because that's what this ministry is all about. This ministry is all about making connections and creating relationships with people. And so we're passionate about doing that. So it was, okay, Lord, wherever you want us to go, when you want us to go. In fact, I had one church down in Oregon, or a pastor down in Oregon. He's actually pastoring two churches down there. And he told me, he says, you know, don't put us on a highlight to come and visit. You know, we could never support you financially. And I said, cool, so we'll be there in, what, 4 weeks? He says, nah, just whenever you're in the area. I said, we'll be in the area in 4 weeks. So that was enough of a heads up for him to know. I said, to us, it's not about the money. Well, yes, we need money to operate in ministry. To us, it's about building connections and relationships and faithful prayer warrior. We have dozens of faithful prayer warriors, dozens of people that get on and check our ministry updates. Some of you will, on occasion, respond to those ministry updates with an email back as I ask, because we want to connect with you. So we put ourselves out there, and we're in churches. In fact, Kathleen and I were talking about this on one trip. Like, we're in churches for just such a short window of time, and we meet all of you. Right? We try to meet everybody. Then we put ourselves out there and we say, okay, now you've got our contact information. If you've stopped by our table, you've got our prayer card, and on the back of our prayer card, it's got an email address and a phone number for you to get a hold of us. Let us know you're praying. Send us a text message. Let us know you're praying. We're on Facebook, and most of our congregations are now, right? So find us on Facebook and shoot us a message. Let us know you're praying, and then let us know how we can pray for you. Because we take those and we put them before our family. So this is one of the really cool things, is being able to have, as a family, time set aside in the evenings where if I've gotten an email or a text message, we'll pray through those. And whatever the Lord's doing in your lives, we have the blessing of being able to do that. I think on there it says we're currently at 80%. So we've built up and been able to be part of just this year over 19 different ministries. Those keep growing. So I sometimes can't even keep track of all of them that we're part of. But a lot of different ministries that we're able to be part of. Dozens of prayer warriors. But we're also now actually at 83% funded for full-time missionary service. We are praising the Lord and constantly amazed at what he's doing. Humbled regularly by the hand of God. In fact, I explained it during the Sunday school hour. The last update we got, I was sitting at a coffee shop where I do all my normal studying and connecting and stuff. I don't have a space in the house to do any of that, and I don't like to sit in silent areas. I like some motion and some interaction. And so I was sitting at a coffee shop, and I get a text message that a church took us on for support, which pushed us to that 83% marker. And I looked up, I'm like, how do I celebrate this? I mean, there was one time I'm holding a can of pop in my hand and I'm standing in the backyard and I get an email and my wife's on the phone with somebody. That's why we were in the backyard. And I didn't know how to sell it. I just threw a can of pop in the air, right? I'm sitting in a coffee shop going, how do I celebrate this, right? All I could do is I looked over at the guy who owns the coffee shop. I said, hey, Zach. And he says, yeah. And I said, 83. Now, Zach's a believer, and Zach looked at me. He's followed us on this journey, and he looks at me, and he's like, no way. So it's a testimony to even other people. So the Lord has continued to bless us in our ministry, but we also want to give you a ministry of what's currently going on the field. So on the next slide, you'll see that the Lord is working in the lives of Paraguay. I'm going to come over here because I don't have my blinker. But you'll see this red star here. That's the capital city of Asuncion. And just across from that is the city of Ciudad del Este. That's where our ministry takes place. Population of 301,000 people. That's where kind of our hub church is at that we partner with in ministry. They sent a guy out in 2007. So just outside of that screen. It was 2010. Just outside of that screen is a church in Encarnacion. It's way south in Paraguay. It borders Argentina, beautiful area. But they sent a national church planter out to that area where he has planted a church and has been up and running and doing very well. And now they're sending a man to plant another church just about an hour away from where that church is being planted. But you have men doing ministry, preparing men for ministry, right? And I kind of talked myself, I think last time I was here, I kind of talked myself out of a role in ministry. But this is the reality of the ministry, is they face a lot more difficult times because they don't have resources in being connected. And that's one of the pieces that Kathleen and I hope to fulfill while we're in Paraguay, is not just training people and helping send them out to plant churches, but actually helping them plant a church, right? And getting that church up and running, then being able to go to the next person and helping them plant a church, and then building a network of churches where the pastors can get together. I think pastors' conferences are such a beautiful thing, and I'm getting to be involved with more and more of those, but they don't have a lot of that in Paraguay yet. And so they don't have an encouragement group to come alongside. So it's one of the things that I've kind of grown a burden and a passion for over the course of the last year or so, where I said, man, I want to see these churches, I want to see these men really knit together. And so as the ministry grows in Paraguay, there is a man, I shared with him, Pastor Felix, last time I was here. He had been kicked out of the city he was in and has ended up back in Ciudad del Este and has been scoping out an area for ministry. And so he's actually going to go work about 30 minutes or so outside the capital city. There was kind of a missionary work that was taking place there in Paraguay that kind of dissolved as missionaries were retiring and leaving the field. And so they became aware of kind of some things going on over there. So they're hoping to send him from Ciudad del Este to Tobati to kind of try to see what he can do to try to build up the church there in Tobati. And so a lot of moving pieces to the ministry. And again, people have asked, what is our ministry going to look like when we get to the field? Well, it depends on when we get to the field because they're continuing moving. It's slow going, but they're still moving. And so you see the two men pictured in this. This is Marciano and Rodrigo. These are two men that are part of the church in Ciudad del Este. Both of these men have expressed interest in going into full-time ministry. And so they have started a training program with our national partner, Juan Carlos Escobar, and have taken, he's kind of taken them under his wing, but he's got two men now, and he's saying, Jared, if you were here right now, I could really use your help. Because, you know, they don't offer a formalized training program in Ciudad del Este. Word of Life Institute has a Bible Institute. It's just a one-year program in the capital city. But beyond that, there's no formalized training for these men. And so Juan Carlos has to just personally invest, which is true discipleship in the church. In fact, if you go back to Acts, who was training these men for ministries? It was all happening in the church. There was this reproduction process in the church. And it's not always feasible for young men like these guys who have wives and families to support. It's not feasible for them to leave Paraguay to go to somewhere like Buenos Aires, Argentina, that has a Word of Life Institute where they could get a formalized training. It's not feasible for them to do that because Paraguay is so much cheaper and the poverty level is so much higher in Paraguay than what it is in Buenos Aires, a bigger city area. And so it's not feasible for that. So his program is a lot of personal investment. Now he does offer theological training on the weekends, which both of these men are part of. But he has to take them under his wing and shepherd them along. And so one of our ministry roles, and we talked about last time we were here, is to be able to come alongside some of these nationals and saying, okay, let us help in that raising up process. Let us help in that training process. Again, long-term goal is to actually have a formalized training program in Ciudad del Este. But in the meantime, we've got to come alongside these guys and help them build up so they we can establish more fundamental churches that will fuel a Bible Institute. So that's the long-term goal. But in the meantime, Juan Carlos is going, I've got two guys that I just can't invest enough into them. Like I have a church and ministries at the church, but I got these two guys that want to go into ministry, and he's saying, Jared, can you get here yet? I'm waiting, man. I need some help. So those are some opportunities for you to pray. Marciano and Rodrigo, two young men getting heavily involved in the church. Some have asked what's next for us, and so on the next slide, you'll see what is next for us is first off connecting with more churches. So last time we were here, we talked about being able to go to language school in August. That's been postponed because we want to make sure that we're together in this as a family, and I could go into all the details of things, but our goal is we have to be at 100% before we go to language school. And so our prayer, and you can pray with us, is that we will get to 100% in September. If we can get to 100% in September, we'll wrap up the rest of the year with making good connections and good relationships. We'll continue with all the meetings we have scheduled and any more we can possibly fit in, because again, it's not about the finances as it is the building up faithful warriors for our ministry. And so we'll fulfill the rest of the year, and we're booked all the way through November. We've still got some spots where we can sprinkle some visits into different places, but our goal then would be the end of December, beginning of January, move to Rio Grande Bible Institute in Southern Texas, where we'll be there for a year learning Spanish, and it's an intensive language training program, 4 hours a day in class, 1 hour a day with a private tutor. You're involved in a Spanish church, Spanish ministry, everything is Spanish. And so we'll do that for a year so that we're ready when we hit the ground running in Paraguay for full-time missionary service. It's a wrap-up really fast about what's going on in our lives. Our prayer is to be in Paraguay January 2024. 3 years in deputation and training program and hit the field January 2024 into ministry in the area of Ciudad del Este, Paraguay. The last slide for us there. Yaha Peruepe. So while you're praying about it, go ahead and start packing your bags, because I'm going to imagine probably June of 25, you're going to want to come see what the Lord is doing amongst our national partners in Paraguay, South America. And it's not too early to start packing. It's one thing I've definitely learned over the years. For the remainder of our time, I want us to get in the Word of God this morning. Can we do that? If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Last time I was here, we spoke on Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. That's our theme verse for our ministry, being confident of this very thing, that he, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God will bring about a completion in the work of our lives. And it is a beautiful thing as believers in Jesus Christ to know that God wants to use us to fulfill a mighty purpose. And that purpose is to bring him glory by sharing hope with the lost. And we can be confident that no matter where you are at in your walk in life, God will fulfill that. No matter where you're at in your walk of life, no matter how old you are, how young you are, being faithful, God will do a mighty work. Well, Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to talk about this issue of an Epaphroditus ministry. I'm going to read this for us, Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church again at Philippi, and he says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my fellow brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, one who is also a messenger and minister to my need." Now, Epaphroditus' ministry has been really interesting, and we don't get a lot about him, but Epaphroditus is who our ministry, Adolphos USA, is labeled after. And if you'll go to the next slide there for me, Adolphos USA was founded to be an Epaphroditus ministry, taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. That is to come alongside Adolphos of Chile and their missionaries as brothers, as companions in labor, and fellow soldiers, and serving the local churches in the United States by being good messengers and ministering on their behalf. And if you go to AdolphosUSA.org, you could see a list of about 8 things that Adolphos has set out to do, but all of them include partnering with our national brothers and sisters in Christ to helping them build up their ministry around the world. While the United States is still number one for sending out missionaries around the world, we're closely closing the gap, and South America is starting to send out more and more missionaries around the world. Asia is starting to, and India are starting to send out more and more missionaries around the world. And our goal is to partner with Adolphos of Chile, South America, and our brothers. Our missionary partner, Juan Carlos Escobar, born and raised in Paraguay, did his seminary work in Santiago, Chile, was sent out by Adolphos Chile back to his own people in Paraguay, and was sent as a church planter and missionary. And the Lord has continued to bless his ministry. And Adolphos USA, one of their goals was to eventually send out an American into that work in partnering with our national brothers and sisters in Christ. It happened a lot faster than they thought it was going to happen, because the Lord was working in our lives in Kennewick, Washington, and in the lives of Adolphos USA out in Illinois, brought us together and a relationship formed. And so we have been the guinea pigs through this process, but the process has always been to partner with our national brothers and sisters in Christ. And one thing I've always had a burden for, and when God called me into missionary service, I've always had a passion for working with nationals. Now, this was before I knew really a whole lot about Adolphos in general. This was before the founding of Adolphos USA was ever in existence, but he always gave me a burden. You guys support Stephen and Edna Mwindi. In fact, it was my goal at one point to go partner with them in their ministry in Kenya. Right? Because he knows the people better. He knows the lifestyle better, the ministry better, better opportunities. And I always had a passion for that. The Lord had always put that burden on my heart, is to be more involved. And, you know, nothing against some of the bigger organizations and getting to Paraguay, but all of them meant I had to go work with Americans to start off with. Right? It's part of their program. And I don't think their program's wrong, and so please don't think that I'm saying that at all. But for me personally, it didn't make sense when I've had 17 years of relationship training with our nationals in Paraguay that I would go to Paraguay and work with some Americans, when I have a passion the Lord has put on my heart to partner directly with nationals in Paraguay. And Adolphos USA, being founded as an agency to come alongside our national brother, based on Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, it only made sense. Adolphos was there and ready to help us along the way, but their goal, which was something that I have continued to reevaluate in my own life. See, I want to make sure that I am in full agreement with this phrase. Do I see myself fulfilling the work, coming alongside as an Epaphroditus in ministry, to serve as a brother, a worker, and a soldier, but also a messenger and a minister? Am I willing to do that? And the answer is yes. I don't have to be the guy on the stage. I can come alongside and help build up national ministries. And so we're going to talk this morning about some characteristics. These 5 characteristics are what Paul calls this man Epaphroditus as a faithful servant. You want to be a faithful servant? These are the characteristics. Paul qualifies as a faithful servant. So if you'll go to the next slide, you'll see the outline. We're just going to go through these briefly, and we won't exhaust them. And if you wanted to exhaust them, you'd spend a lot more sermons than what I'm prepared to preach on the topic. But these are all characteristics of a faithful servant. And God is going to work these out in our lives in different ways if we're willing to wake up and say, Lord, I want to serve you. But Paul writes to the church, Epaphroditus is my brother. So let's start there. Epaphroditus, I'm going to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus had left the church at Philippi. He was sent with a gift to take to Paul while he's under house arrest. He's there to go and to aid him and to deliver this gift and this message. And when Paul goes to the church, Epaphroditus shows up to Paul, he greets him, he delivers the gift, he's with him, and they form this relationship, this bond. Where did this relationship start? We're not really all that sure, because Paul doesn't mention him previously on his journeys through Philippi, although it is very likely that Epaphroditus would have already been in Philippi when Paul passed through on his missionary journeys. It's very likely, but it doesn't say. It doesn't say when. It's very likely, and historians have kind of gone through this, it's very likely that this man Epaphroditus is actually from Rome, probably served in the Roman military, maybe as a guard in the military, but he had a comfort with going to the guards that were guarding Paul, and so he shows up, though, and they create a relationship. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip overseas and worked with believers overseas? Okay, some of us, right? You know that bond that is there when you get there. It's a beautiful bond. I can tell you my first time to Paraguay, I was scared out of my mind. I'd never done something like this before. I'm getting on an airplane. I'd never been on an airplane before. My first time on an airplane was to head to Paraguay, South America. It took us 32 hours to get there. And so I go to Paraguay, have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but these nationals come alongside, and you know what? What bound us together was the Holy Spirit in us. There was a camaraderie because the Spirit was in us, and then there was a commonality in our purpose and what we hoped to accomplish. Now, I was the only one of the group of us, of 20 of us that had gone out. I was the only one in my age bracket. And everybody was either just barely old enough to be a parent of mine or younger than my siblings. And so I was kind of in this odd age bracket, but there was a man in Paraguay, Juan Carlos Moncoyo, who's a pastor now in Paraguay, who picked on me every single day. He went out of his way to pick lemons from a tree to wipe them under my arms when I got on the bus in the morning, just so he could find a way to pick on me. But you know what it was that caused that was he wanted that relationship. And so Paul had this kind of a relationship as a brother, and Paul doesn't say he's my son. So we know that Epaphroditus was probably already a believer. The church at Philippi had sent him. He doesn't say we're cousins, but no, we're comrades in that brotherly relationship. And when you introduce somebody as a brother, it automatically sets a distinction in that relationship. And so there's a closeness, and when Paul writes that this is my brother, we are together, we are of the same flesh, and we could exhaust the rest of our time talking about this area of adoption into the family of Christ. But there was this relationship that was had, and this beautiful picture that Paul is now writing to the church, encouraging them that when Epaphroditus shows up, this is my brother, you better watch out. Right? There's a bond between brothers where you always have each other's backs, right? And Paul is writing, he is my brother, but secondly, he is my fellow worker. He is my fellow worker. We labor in the same field together. You want to be a faithful servant? Come alongside those that are serving the Lord and come alongside serving with them. Labor with them. There's that phrase that many hands makes light work, right? Somebody showed me a video after the last time I gave that illustration, or I was going through this with somebody. They showed me a video of a group of Amish men who got together and they moved a barn. They posted beams all the way across the barn, and all you see is an outside view of this group of men, and you see a whole bunch of feet, and they are inside the barn. They have picked up this barn, and it's about the size of this sanctuary, and they have picked up this barn, and they are moving it. That's a labor together. That's where you come together for a common purpose, and you're fulfilling a work that you've been called to do. I thought, man, what a beautiful picture. Many hands making light work, and they just moved it. They just moved it. And when men come together, when women come together, and we're serving the Lord together, it makes that labor such a sweet thing. So Paul is saying, he's my brother. He's a laborer. That means come alongside your pastor and serve in the church. Take on some of those responsibility. Train up the younger ones so that they'll come along and bear some of those responsibility. Serve your purpose and serve it well, because if we're not willing to serve together, we won't fight together. And that's the next point, is that Paul was saying he's a brother. We have a camaraderie. He's a laborer. We work together. But not only are we working and tilling the ground together, we're fighting together. You know, Epaphroditus and Paul faced the same spiritual battles that we face today. Not just attacks outwardly, but the attacks inwardly. And we need each other in order to not just survive, but to thrive. And that's the whole picture that Paul is writing as he's sending Epaphroditus back to the church at Philippi, is so that the church would thrive in ministry. And so as Paul is writing this, he's saying, I'm sending him back to you, and he has fought well. He's a fighter. He wants to join the battle. He has put on the armor of God, and his armor is dingy. It is dinged up because he's been in the trenches. He's been fighting. You know, there's this picture of the armor of God as we teach it to kids, and the armor is always really shiny and well-polished. But as a Christian, our armor, when we go before God, if our armor isn't dinged up, then we haven't served well. If there's not some bloodstains on our armor, we haven't done our job. And so Paul is writing and he's saying, this man has dirty armor and it probably stinks underneath it, because he's a soldier. He fights, and he fights well. Well, the fourth point is that he's a messenger, and this is really a mark of his faithfulness, a mark of what he is. The church sent him to fulfill a task. The church sent him to go and fulfill something, and he has brought it about to completion, and he has done well. Who knew what was going on at the church of Philippi? Paul did. How did Paul know? Because Epaphroditus told him. Paul couldn't get on Facebook and find out what was going on in Philippi. He couldn't search the World Wide Web to find out what was going on in a church in Philippi. So it had to be brought to him. Message had to be brought to him, and Epaphroditus brought a message. And what a beautiful message it must have been, because Paul writes that he prays with joy in chapter 1. He prays with joy. So he has fulfilled what you sent him to do. He is faithful. He has fulfilled a good and mighty work. So not only is he my brother, not only are his fingers dirty because he's a worker in the work, he is faithful in that work. Not only is his armor bent because he's a soldier, but he has been faithful to deliver your message, and he is a minister to my need. And I want to close on this point, minister, that Paul looks at this ministry of Epaphroditus. This word minister, this is a priestly word. Now, Epaphroditus wasn't a priest, but he was. Just as all of us are priests. And Epaphroditus was serving the role as a priest in the life of Paul. See, prior to this, we don't know the relationship between Epaphroditus and Paul. We don't know if there was a relationship. But there has been a true bond, and such a bond that Paul has opened himself up and just exposed himself to this man, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus has been faithful along the way to encourage him, to strengthen him through the word of God and the promises of Scripture. He's come alongside him along the way. And that's why this word is a priestly word. It's something that in the Old Testament would have highlighted a priestly service. And you go back to the rituals of the priests in the Old Testament, how much people revered them for what they did. And that closeness they had with God that others were almost jealous of. And now Epaphroditus is fulfilling that role in the life of Paul. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you think of a layman like Epaphroditus serving a man like Paul as a priest. We think of Paul as this spiritual hierarchy, right? I mean, he's this man who has just been bold and he's done all these journeys and all these different things, but even he has his weak points. And so a man came into his life and served as a minister to not just physical needs, spiritual needs. Do you do that with each other in the church? Characteristics of a faithful servant. Being a servant of God requires work. Being a servant of God requires work. Being a faithful servant of God requires a lot of work. Oh, but the joy when we do it together, and it's all for the beautiful glory of God and His kingdom. When the world sees us acting like a man like Epaphroditus, and I'm not trying to put Epaphroditus on a pedestal, okay? We're marking his characteristics. If the world would see us, the world would look in and see in this body today our brothers, our family. We're knit together. We love each other. If the world would look in and see that, they would be jealous. If the world would look in and say, man, they work together. They're really at this together. You know what the world would think? We're nuts, but they would be jealous. If the world would see us out on the streets being in fellowship with one another, and when a stranger comes by being bold with our testimony of Jesus Christ together, if the world would see that, they would want what we have because we're doing it together. The world thinks what we do on Sunday mornings is absolutely crazy. Because we're from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. We're all heading in different directions. But our ultimate aim is to glorify God. And when the world sees that we can come together and we can have camaraderie and we can laugh like our time together last night, when the world sees that, you know what? They're jealous. And they want what we have. But are we faithful servants? Let me close in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, it's a word. It